All right, a reading from the Holy Text, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And sorry, I'm not Chris Osborne, and if you're watching, Chris, we miss you. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, a typical day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again, around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you just standing around here doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. Don't I have the right to do what I want? Oh, sorry. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous?" So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last.
How's that go again? Those who'll be last shall be first, right? Isn't that how it goes? And don't we say it all the time? Like, especially when we're in the long line at the grocery store or at the cafeteria, we use it so often, but I think we don't do the depth of it. So we're going to get into the depth of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And I'm not sure we're going to like it, but we'll try. Because it's Jesus after all. So here is this story. This is one of those that we've all heard, and we all have heard so much we think we know it so well, right? And it comes up in the lectionary, and every 3 years we pastors in all our wisdom, "Oh, I never heard that part before. I never saw that." Gary and I, who are kind of your social justice type preachers, a lot of times we get to use this as an opportunity to talk about how labor is so unjust, right? And this used to be the sermon, you can go to Israel, Palestine, and you do see men standing on the corner waiting to work. You can go that's where I was going to go, but that was going to be my last one. Or you can go to Home Depot in Santa Ana, California, and see folks that are working. Or U-Haul next to Dick Churches and see people standing, wait to go working. We could talk about that the system of itself, that people have to stand in a parking lot on a corner, is unjust. But we all get that, right? We get that. So we're going to move on, and we're going to go to another layer of this text. And this text is really not just about God's generousness to us, but it's about who are we in this story. Because we're going to usually be the ones who complain, right? So let me tell you what's going on here. Okay, so context. Jesus is getting popular. We've been going through that with all the parables and all the preaching he's done, and he's on the road. He's kind of, as I've said before, in his rock star mode. He's getting very famous. Now, the tradition of the times, and it's kind of now too, right? People will say to try to figure out your status and also figure out who you are. They'll be like, "Who do you study with? Who's, in this case, who's your rabbi?" And then Peter, James, John, all the rest, right? But really these three, because they're the most talkative, or four, these are the most talkative, they're like, well, I hang with Jesus. I study with Jesus. So that's the one in the know, right? Those are the workers who work all day. Those are the ones that have been close to, all right? And then you got the ones who maybe are new to coming to Jesus. And the disciples are getting a little jealous. They're like, wait, you're one of those 10,000 or however many were fed. You know, the 10,000, 5,000 plus, because we have women and children. Wait, you say that you know Jesus too? But wait, we're the insiders. We're the ones who know better. You just got welcome to the party, and Jesus loves you just the same. What's Jesus' answer? Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are and when you came to the party. The party's for everybody. Amen? Hold on. Slow down, friends. Slow down. So the text that comes right after this one is the third time that Jesus is letting folks know in this gospel that, but when you're following me, we get into good trouble. And what does it mean to get in good trouble? For Jesus, it's going to mean execution. For Jesus, it's going to mean the cross. And it's just in the next text where Jesus says to James and John, will you stay up with me? I need you. Huh? What does it mean to be in the in crowd? Well, there's not really an in crowd. It's we are with Jesus. We get to say we learn from Jesus. He's our rabbi. Next time we're with our Jewish friends, we can say he's our rabbi, right? Right? And because Jesus was Jewish. Amen. We all remember that part, right? Okay. Just wanted to review. And so what does it mean to follow Jesus? And is there such thing as an in crowd? Let's look at it this way. Jesus couldn't do this movement alone. He needed the disciples. As flawed as they were, right? Peter, still the densest human on the planet, right? Really, Jesus, I got it. Nope, I didn't know Jesus. How many times? Nope, I didn't know Jesus. And then he's the one that starts the church? Yes, as flawed as we are, Jesus needed those folks to be with him all the way through. And as we get to say in the case of Mary Magdalene, she was there with him all the way through. So let's put that to today's terms. The church does not happen because there's one pastor. The church happens because, as flawed as we all are in our quirky community, that's what makes church happen. So many people today are making church happen. And so if more of us take on being community, then more of us have time for each other to be in community. Does that make sense? Kinda, sorta, right? Yeah? If more of us step up to help the community and be in community, then more of us have time to be in community. And it might just be little stuff like making coffee or bringing treats or helping pass out papers or print. It's little things that, again, when just one of us do and share, then not just one is doing. God's love is for everybody, so everybody can be loved. So think about that as we are journeying together this week. Again, the board is going to be hanging out, zooming with Reverend Dr. Jenny Edwards-Bertrand as we look to be the church. How can we be pertinent? And we know because you know what? You and I travel in Orange County. Not everybody's like us. Have you noticed that? And I still coming up with so many sermons. But anyway, you know, and I don't think we're all that special, but I realize we are that special. We are that special. And so we're trying to get ready because we know people are going to start coming because they've been searching. They've been longing. Do you know that I still, when I'm out and about, I get, oh, you're a woman and you're a minister? Huh. And then sometimes, here's one of my other one-liners. I go, yeah, because you know who helped Paul? Priscilla. Yes. And Jesus had Mary Magdalene who supported him. Women have been part of the church since before there was a church. Amen. We have got to be out there and be willing to share that message. It's just going to take more of us to help do it. Are we all in? It doesn't matter. You might think, Monica, I can't really do anything. No, you can do something just by being you to help welcome more folks. We're getting the party ready, and it's going to mean there's going to be some hiccups and bumps, but if Peter can do it, we can do it, right? Amen. I'm not even asking you to build a statue of me or anything. Like there is one of Peter in Rome, and it's really big, and it's really... Anyway, okay, right? So this is one of those deep, deep texts. You can take it back this way. The landowner couldn't do everything. The landowner set the stage so others could till. And the landowner was then able to be gracious and love and give grace to all. We can't do that unless we give room for each other to do that. Amen? Amen. So let us enjoy each other being in community. And in fact, here's our first offering today of Carol and Christina offering their reflection in song. So we welcome you both.